you. I redeem you, he says. I redeem you with my blood, my own treasure. All that heaven had was spent, was shed, was spent and poured out for you. You're his purchased possession. You are my purchased possession. I covered you, and you are covered. And I will not revoke it. I will not take it back. Lord, we come to you now humbly to understand that we're not just here on earth, but we're seated in heavenly places. And we're going to be seated again upon a throne in a millennium, Lord. We're going to be your bride. We're going to sit by your side. We're going to rule and reign with you, Lord. And so the simple task of this day is to take your word, Lord, and apply it to our lives and to rule and reign over the elements of this life. Amen. To prepare us for the next. Amen. To rule over our spirit. Yes. For he who can rule his spirit can rule a city. Yes. Then we can rule and reign with you, Lord. For you have already come once to redeem us, and now you're returning again to receive us. It's just a few moments and we're going to be caught up to meet you in the air. And then you're going to come so you can reign with us, and we're going to reign with you. And Lord, we pray that you'll teach us how to rule and reign now, for we are a kingdom of priests, kings and priests, being in training under the word, the royal word of instruction. We ask you to help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many here tonight is ready to be trained? How many is here tonight to learn how to rule and reign with Jesus? Amen. You don't get over there and then get caught off guard and, oh, what do I do? How do I do this? You're getting trained now. Eliezer and his 10 men were training her, teaching her how to be the wife of Isaac. Eliezer took her and trained her. We're traveling right now. How many's traveling? How many is Rebecca today? How many's riding on your camel? Amen. That's the power that she watered, the power that you worship, is the power that's carrying you to your husband. We ought to be excited about that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It's good to be here tonight. I've just been enjoying seeing the move of God right within our midst. People are coming from the woodwork, out of the woods, into this bride. Unsuspecting to us. We can't tell God who's bride material and who isn't. We don't know. But all we need to do is just bathe in the wonder of who God is bringing in. He's going to bring in people who we don't think are worthy, who we don't think are noble enough, who we don't think are mighty enough. God doesn't care about all that stuff. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of personalities. He's looking for anybody and everybody. He's got a plan. So he's doing this, and things are churning and happening right within the bride herself. So be ready. We're getting ready to get out of here. It's coming. It's coming. Believe me, I'm telling you. It's all wind-up time now, just winding it up. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Now when these things had been thus prepared, this is the writer there speaking about the Old Testament system of worship with the tabernacle or the temple. He said the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, which would be the sanctuary. How many members? It's three parts, right? Amen. Court, sanctuary, you get deeper, it's Holy of Holies. But only the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. I want to call the thought tonight the way into the Holy of Holies. God bless you. You may be seated. May God bless his word and the giving of it, but also the receiving of it. More so the receiving of it. He may reveal things to you that I don't even say. If you can read your Bible and read the love letter between the lines, then God can speak to you between the words. Right? We can go beyond just the man here, and we can go beyond the veil and hear directly from God. My desire is not for you to hear me, My desire is to be a tool, a vessel, a vehicle in which God can speak to you directly. I want you to hear a voice from heaven. I don't want you just to hear this. So you need to be thinking and expecting beyond me. I'm just like an instrument. It sits there. It's a guitar. It's useless by itself. It's wood and metal. But if someone can pick that up and start to strum it, then it suddenly, that guitar starts making noises. And we say, oh, that's a beautiful guitar. But the guitar is not doing it. It's someone else. And if you can expect beyond me, this is just a guitar. But if you can look beyond the guitar and understand that there's a strummer, there's an instrumentalist, there's a perfect musician who can strum it, then you get to hear from him. You get to walk home. You get to go home tonight and say, I heard from God tonight. I heard from heaven tonight. The way into the Holy of Holies. All through the Old Testament, it was identified that God had a threefold way of approach to him. Amen. That he had an outer court or inner court called a sanctuary, and finally inside of that was a Holy of Holies, or the holiest of all, it was also called. And all kinds of service happened on the outside, on the court side, courtroom side, and all kinds of service happened on the inside, where there was a table of showbread, right, that just meant open bread. And there was also a lampstand, praise the Lord. And there were seven lamps in the sanctuary. And there was also a small golden altar called the altar of incense, praise the Lord, because you couldn't, that altar of incense was more connected to the Holy of Holies than it was to the sanctuary. It had to be there because the high priest, on his way in to the Holy of Holies, had to take coals off of the golden altar and incense and put those together and create a cloud of incense to go into the Holy of Holies, because God expects a certain atmosphere to be in there when that high priest enters. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. But I love the way that the writer of Hebrews says this: the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Though it was identified, and though the high priest would go in, but yet the way, why is he saying this? Because he's saying that the way for all of us to be able to go in there, was not yet made manifest. A high priest would go once a year, right? But how many understands that Jesus is our high priest? Amen. And he has gone in. And the Bible also says that he has gone beyond the veil, the heavenly veil, praise the Lord, and is the anchor of our hope. And we are therefore connected with him beyond the veil. Jesus is a man in heaven who is sitting there at the right hand of Almighty God. Can you say amen? And he's there representing you. Hallelujah. Because he's there, I'm seated there. Because he's enthroned, I'm enthroned there. Because he's righteous, I'm righteous. Because he's perfect, I'm perfect. With that blood that washes you here in your condition on earth, God can only see through the blood of his Lamb, and he sees you as a perfect son or daughter of God. He doesn't care about the outside, doesn't care about even the inside, but the inside of the inside, where the seed of God is, that's what he sees through the blood. Amen. Because it's also blood. You're the blood gene of God. Can you say praise God? So God sees his own blood through his own blood. Hallelujah! And that's why you are perfect in Christ, and you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The way into the holiest of all was made accessible through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his ascension. Now, Matthew 27:50 speaks of his death. But in Matthew 27, the 50th verse, something very powerful is said. Mark and Luke both mention this, but I like the little bit of in-depth that Matthew gets into. He gets a little more deeper into it. And the Bible talks about Jesus being on the cross. And how many knows he said seven things while he was on the cross? Seven different things. And one of them is he screamed it out with a loud, the Greek is a megaphone voice. Megaphone is Greek. Megaphone voice. It is a voice of triumph, not of defeat. It is not a whimper of a man dying, but it is the triumphant voice of someone who just gained the victory. Because he's wrestling and he's overcoming. And he finally overcomes. And that's why when he screams like this, the centurion, who's, you don't become a centurion except that you started out as a foot soldier. And you had to have experience. You went into battle. You fought against the enemy, the Germanic armies or other armies, whoever they fought against, the Roman soldiers. And they would work their way up into rank, corporal and leaders of 10 and leaders of 100. A centurion is a leader of 100 soldiers. And he had to earn his way there. He had to be in a lot of battles. He saw when men would die. Men would be laying on the ground in their own blood, crying out for their mother, crying out for their father, crying out for help. They would die in a whimper. And he saw that. And this centurion, when Jesus died, died different than any other man he ever saw die. They crucified a lot of men, and they all died the same way, begging, please let me live. This one didn't. This one cried out with a megaphone voice. And if you go and read through the Bible, you'll see what he said. Hallelujah. Three words. It is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's running a race and he gets to the finish line. He ran his race with endurance, seeing the cross ahead of him, seeing the joy ahead of him, and thinking nothing of the cross. He saw the cross as a way to victory. Hallelujah! Death for you and me is also just a victory. Even if you die, you're still a victory. You graduate. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the day is coming when you'll be raised up again and you'll be able to look death in the face and say, you failed. You failed. And for those of us who are going to be alive and remain, we don't even have to go that way. We can just tell the thumb our nose at the death and say, you failed. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You don't get one over me. You don't get one over God's bride. Amen? Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus cried out again with a megaphone, a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to many. There's a lot said here, but this you have to understand. Brother Branham says, I'm a typologist. Brother Branham said that, he said, I try to understand what's going on in our day or what could be coming up based on types. And if God did something a certain way once, he'll do it again a certain way. How many understands that there's a first resurrection and there's a second resurrection? And this is the first resurrection. And the Bible speaks about the first resurrection as being Jesus Christ himself, the first fruits, and those saints who were died in the Old Testament who were raised with him were part of the first fruits. Can you say amen? But that's not it. That's not the end of the first resurrection, because the Bible tells us that at the end, this end time people who are God's children are going to be raised as part of the first resurrection. Yes, there's a gap, but there's the first part of it as an evidence. I've got more to come. And then the rest of us, it's called the first fruits. We're the rest of it. Isn't that exciting? If there's a first part of the harvest, there's the last part, the best part. The whole bulk of it has to come up, not just a wave sheaf. Praise the Lord. And so, but what's so powerful here is when he cries, it is finished, the temple veil, which is 4 inches thick, or however thick it was, made of all these materials put together, was rent from top to bottom. Can you say amen? And that's telling us this veil that Solomon, when he built this temple and it was rebuilt in his pattern, that the veil itself was some 40 feet or 20 feet high. I forget what the dynamics are, but very high. So no man did it, and no man would do it. God did it. Can you say amen? What is it talking about? Well, it's Hebrews is saying the way into the holiest of holies. The veil was rent in two, parted in half, meaning that God was showing us the way into the holiest of holies of his temple. But further verses in the Bible tell us that the real veil was not in the temple that was rent, the real veil was the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, who was the temple of Almighty God. Can you say amen? Who had the fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him. All the fullness of deity was dwelling in Jesus Christ. He had the Holy Spirit without measure. He was God's Holy of Holies. Amen. And the veil was rent and showing us a way in, because when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire, you are inducted into the body of Jesus Christ. You become part of the body of Jesus Christ with full access to the Holy of Holies. Can you say amen? Now, the church has gone through seven ages or periods represented by seven lampstands. Now, why is that? That's sanctuary language, correct? But everybody understands, by the time John wrote the book of Revelation in 96 AD, and he starts sharing what the heavenly tabernacle looks like and connecting it in a prophetic way to the ages of the church coming up, it's amazing. We have to understand, somehow we end up back in the sanctuary. But that's only because God knows man would rise up. Even Paul said it, men will rise up. And they're going to be wolves wearing sheep's clothing. They're going to come up among the church itself. And what are they going to do? They're going to reseal up this temple. Just like the Jews did in the Bible, Josephus, whoever said, the Jews went back and they repaired the veil. They sealed it back up. It's a type. And so denominational type people rose up in the early church and began to seal the way up, the Nicolaitans, the way into the Holy of Holies, and started to make men, leaders, preachers, the ones with the Holy Spirit, and the poor little people don't have it. That's what they were doing. And then Jesus said, you block the way in and you won't go in yourselves. And that attitude of Satan's programmed people, leaders, is always the same, stopping people from getting in when God has opened up the way. Can you say amen? Amen. But don't worry, God promised something. He's going to send another return so we can get back in there. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, notice seven lampstands. So each age and the seven lamps were placed in the sanctuary. Thus, the latest, as Laodicea, how many believes we're in Laodicea, or that's this age, has just gone by, was coming, as it was coming to its end, into its highlight, God sent his revealed word to the church. Can you say amen? Amen. God restored or sent back Christ in word form to the church in 1963, hallelujah, but the church generally rejected this word. Is that right? Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 talks about the Laodicean church age, goes to the end of it and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Now, if you open the door, he's not expecting you to present him with food. You open the door, he's bringing the food. You know, everybody likes to order pizza nowadays. You just make a phone call. You can get on your phone. You don't have to call anybody now. And somebody shows up at your door, some Uber driver, and there's your pizza. And you don't have to pay. It's already paid for. That's how it is. Today, that's how it works. But that's what Jesus is saying. You don't have to worry about the food. I'm bringing it. I have a bleeding body word. Hallelujah. They crucified it, but it's now made palatable for the true believer, whoever opens the door and overcomes and accepts him. I love it. I think it's so amazing when you start seeing what's going on in our day. So in other words, we are witnesses of the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How many can say amen? We are witnesses of the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The church world itself has overall, generally, officially crucified Jesus Christ the second time. Now that's scripture. The Bible talks about, be careful that you don't crucify Jesus the second time. Trample his blood again on the ground. But it's being done. Now, why would the Bible warn that? Because it's possible that it can happen, right? We are also experiencing the second tearing of the veil. I hope you're starting to get all the pieces together. The way into the holiest is manifest again. Hallelujah! The way in has now been opened again. God has torn the seals off of his word, his book, and brought the full understanding of the word to his people. Amen. And the world has stuck spears in it and thorns into it and whipped it and tried to destroy it. But this truth just keeps marching on. You can't stop it. Amen. And people are going to believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And even though it is crucified a second time, it is also revealing a way back in to the holies of holies. Can you say amen? Amen. Watch what he says in Desperations 1963. He says, back to the word, because the messages and the messages and the messages has to wind up in the entire word. Watch what he says there. The entire word. Hallelujah. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that's been left off. Is God a Trinitarian God? Is God a oneness God? Is God a two-ness God? What is God? That's been settled. How to get baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's been settled. Amen. Was it an apple? Was it a fruit? Was it a chocolate? Some people think it might have been chocolate. Forbidden fruit, you know? But we know what it was. It was the fruit of their action, and they united together and became procreators when God wanted them to stay creators. Hallelujah. There was another way to bring forth children, and they did it wrong. But Jesus is the second last Adam, and he's going to bring it forth right with his bride. Hallelujah. They are not made perfect without us. And in the last days, he says, this is what he says, winding up to the entire word. And in the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that's been left off and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride. I hope you catch what's happening here. Watch how just one sentence is such a full picture of what's going on. Opening seals, presenting the entire word, the bride ingests it, she becomes that word, and that's the whole thing. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. What does it do? To make one great big body of the bride, that them who lived back there was not perfect. Why were they not perfect? Was Luther's age not perfect? Why was Wesley's age or even Paul's age not perfect? The reason they were not perfect is because the perfect word hadn't arrived yet. Paul says there's so much more I want to share with you, but you're not ready. You can't handle it. Jesus said you can't handle it. The writer of Hebrews, you're not ready for it. John says, was told, keep it quiet, but one is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my, we ought to get excited. Amen. I'm telling you right now. And he says here that them who lived back there was not perfect until this church be perfected. The bridegroom of the last days, to bring them in and all together be taken up. Amen. They are waiting on us, the prophet said. They cannot be made perfect without us. But we cannot do anything about it until we become perfected. And we couldn't become perfected without a perfect word. A perfect word makes perfect faith. And then they can come when perfect power strikes the perfect word and the perfect faith. And then believe me, nothing can stop the resurrection. Can you say amen? And it's all tied in. A veil is rent and bodies come up. A veil is rent and bodies come up. We have a veil rent. Where are the bodies? They're coming. Amen. They are coming. Amen. And even though men have tried again to seal up this rent sealed book, they just can't do it this time. They're never going to stop it. It's just unfolding, 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 and opening and opening. Hallelujah. Now in 1965, Invisible Union, he says, some of you people that really believe this to be the truth. How many can say amen to that? That we are entering another age. We're entering the rapture age. Hallelujah. You ought to be excited, brother and sister. Listen, we're in Laodicea, but we're not of Laodicea. We're of another age. We're of the word age. We're of a rapture age. Another place, Brother Branham, call it the word age. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, what is the purpose of the message of our day? I really want to nail this down because I wonder sometimes if we don't think it's just to have correct doctrine, to learn to dress and act right. You know, saints, you can go to India. Some of the people in India, some people in Congo and Africa, those women dress better than some of us message women do. I mean, if you want to be honest about covering up, some places in the world, they have no clue what we believe. So it's not about dress code. It's not about a moral code. That all kind of comes with it. Because if you receive the Holy Spirit, He makes you holy. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. And you start thinking holy and speaking holy and acting holy. Amen. Will you still have error? Will you still make mistakes? We will. Yes, but God is a God of perfection, and He brings us to perfection. The Bible says this way, let us go on to perfection. So there's a progression. You have to grow into it. Can you say amen? Now, what is the purpose of the message of our day? Here it is. To correct the error of the denominations and theologians in order to get the mechanics of God's word put together correctly for rapturing faith. Amen. If you have faith in something and it's incorrect, what does it matter? Right. If you believe I can get on that bicycle and I know how to ride a bike. I can ride that thing for 20 miles. And you jump on the bike and the front wheel falls off. The mechanics weren't right. The dynamics were good, but the mechanics were messed up. So until all that is corrected, you cannot do what you want to do. You won't reach your goal. So God can't let His word continue to be this idea and that idea. Look at when Jesus showed up, they had Jewish commentaries and religions and the Mishnah and the Talmud and all these ideas floating around, and some believed in spirits, some didn't. Some believed in resurrection, some didn't. These were all the same Jewish people, had all different kinds of belief, and Jesus corrected it. But notice the word, when it comes, it always corrects the error. Hallelujah. And I want you to know the word has returned in our day. Not in the form of the literal corporal Jesus. He is coming again. Do you believe that? But the word has come to correct error in our day. And people have taken this very precious message and created more error with it. Isn't it amazing? And just because Jesus was the word correcting the error didn't mean a bunch of error didn't pop up after He left. After He died, buried, resurrected, ascended on high, and the Holy Spirit came, and they had everything in common, things were working, and then people started rising up. And Paul had to start correcting error, and Peter had to start correcting error. Early on, there had to be lion anointing correcting that error. And it was subtle error, but even in our day, we have this precious message, and we're not all on the same page. Why is that? Because the devil has to do the same thing. He can't change his ways. But it's when the people really... And what really kept driving the early church together was the persecutions. That's what kept them together, because they realized it has to be beyond just our belief system. It has to be that we know we're born again of the Holy Spirit. God's not going to give His Spirit to just everybody. He's redeeming us because we are redeemable. Can you say amen? Now the mechanics of God's word had to be put together correctly for rapturing faith. Mechanics and dynamics together equals the rapture. Praise the Lord. Now, here's what the prophet of God said in Turn on the Light. He said, it's the word turned on. See, the message of the hour is not new word added to the Bible, but it's taking the Bible and, like a light shining, as it were, or however you want to try to think of it, it clears away all the added commentary on top, that's piled on top, clears it away, gets us back to the word. The original word, hallelujah, gets us back to that and then turns it on. Oh, I love this. Makes it live. Watch. He said, it's the word turned on. The light turns on the mechanics and they become dynamics. Oh, brother and sister, I don't know about you, but I want you to know that as I read things like this, I realize just as the devil snuck into the pristine Garden of Eden and fouled up God's beautiful paradise, so God snuck into a virgin womb called Mary and fouled up the devil's paradise. Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful? But just as He's done that, so God has done it again. He snuck into this end time, can you say amen, and finds Himself a virgin bride that He can place His word seed into, and all the devil's whole system gets messed up. I love it. And so I want you to just catch that there is something already done. Now, first let me say this, and I'll read the rest of this quote. The system is this, that God has information over the centuries in the past before the Bible was ever written. The Bible started being written in around 1400 BC. And before the Bible was ever written, it was all just oral. Everybody shared the story of what happened in history with words. So before it was ever written, before information, more information was given, mainly through Moses and on down, God had that information already. You were already saved by the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God has all this information. I'm saying this so you can catch this. But then it becomes, you could call it revealed information, and it could still be a mystery. Now, when we think of a mystery, we think it's something we don't know. But a lot of times a mystery is something you do know, but you don't know the fullness of it. Like Paul's saying, I'm going to show you a mystery. He didn't say, I'm going to reveal to you a mystery. I'm going to show you it. God will identify mysteries. And he a lot of times does that so that we'll seek after. But the whole point is that God has used prophets, sages, men of God, people of God down through the ages to reveal more truth. The Bible is written by basically 44 authors, scribes, but God is the ultimate author. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But ultimately, God used these men to get the word out to his people. Do you understand that? But it didn't mean they understood it right away. So you see, a revelation kind of runs in a twofold way. In other words, God first reveals it through a man, but then it takes the action of the Holy Spirit to take the revelation of a prophet and download it into the believer. So now it's truly a divine revelation. And you'll find that if this believer in Alaska and this one over here in South America hears the same word, the same reveal, like if they're listening to the seven seals over there and they're listening to seven seals over there, generally speaking, the Holy Spirit is involved, they're both going to come together and say, but that's my revelation. Well, that's my revelation because it's the same author. He's not going to reveal one thing to you and another thing to that person. Man divides up. The devil divides up. God brings us together. The same revealed word, the same prophet's message divides up the people because the devil gets involved. But when God's involved, it brings them together. Same word. Same word. All right? So keep that in mind. He says, they are dynamics. When, now here's the key statement here. When the dynamic comes to the mechanic, dynamics comes to the mechanics. He says, it starts the thing rolling. Oh, I love this. My. He says, take the word. If there is one little thing missed up on it, it won't start. When he speaks about it there, he's talking about the Bible, the word, how it can become ineffective because it is the mechanics. God's word is always the mechanics. Praise the Lord. But one little thing messed up, the tire on the bike not screwed on tight, can mess up, he says, the whole thing. It just won't start. He says, the Bible, he quotes scripture now. He says, lay aside every weight, every ism, hallelujah, every creed. Yeah. Imagine that when we're thinking about the weight, you know, the weight and the sin. That easily, there's personal sin. There's sin that can beset us, that can hinder us. The Bible says can hinder us in our race. But the weight, I never thought of it this way. I thought of weight being maybe something that's not sin. But listen to what it is. He says it's isms and creeds. He says lay aside all those things so that the dynamics, the Holy Spirit, will flow through the word and vindicate the word that's promised for this day. Amen. How many wants the Holy Spirit to come into you where the word is parked, where the word is set up, where the mechanics are there, and flow through the mechanics and work through it? Hallelujah. He says here, then the great church of God will rise to her feet like a jet-propelled plane and take off to the skies to meet her master. The only thing we're missing is the whole entire bride of Christ completely set up with the mechanic of the word. Can you say amen? The correct mechanics of the word. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's here. But every one of us need to know our place and our position and our spot. And we're all in this together and we're sealed up together with love. We love each other. We're glued together. We're connected together with the love of God. And the Spirit of God is in you. But then the Holy Spirit can come as an overall outpouring, hallelujah, and strike this bride on this earth and away she's going to go. Can you say amen? That's the only thing we're waiting for. Hallelujah. Now, this is the real purpose of the revealing of the seven seals. After the seals were revealed, The prophet of God does something so amazing that I find it fascinating. But he takes 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We all know Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and so on. Dead in Christ will rise first. And he takes it and he merges it with 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he merges those and he continues to quote it in a merged format. I don't know that you find if you find that important or not, but I do, because those are pretty separate verses of Scripture. Paul is writing to two different churches in two different cities. And he's kind of sharing the same thing, but how do they go together? And you might think that's not that important, but in the end, I trust God will take what I'm speaking to you tonight and bring it home to you in a crescendo to place you right where you need to be. Can you say amen? Because I feel like every one of us are just a smidgen off from a new body. Amen. That's it. It's not far from you. And it's all because of what we understand. And we can't do it in a staggered way. One person gets it over here. It's going to be worldwide, instantaneous. But the preacher's job is to bring you as close to your body change as he can get you with rapturing faith. So when the Spirit of God strikes it, believe me, we're all going there. We're going to step into our theophany. Can you say amen? That's what I'm excited about. Now, after the seals are revealed, he merges 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians 15:51. You might read this. You might have read this and said, oh, he got that wrong. He didn't get that scripture right. Listen to this. When the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain be changed, in a moment and twinkle of an eye, to be caught up together to meet him in the air. Do you understand what just happened there? He merged two passages of Scripture, but he merged them because the seals opened and the correct understanding came to him. Amen. And you must understand this because it's so paramount that, I don't know how to say this, but I want you to catch this. He's placing it properly in its order. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. That's not in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. There's nothing about a change. But you see what he did? He places 1 Corinthians 15:51 in there. I don't know if you get this, but this is something that the Lord just shows me, these strange things. Like, you know, Revelation 13 is America. It just happens to be 13. It's not just happens to be. It's God's ordained plan. So if you take 1 Corinthians 15:51, 15 and 51 are mirror images of each other. Behold, I tell you a mystery. If you're looking in the Word of God, you're no longer looking at a story. You're not looking at a religious book on how to live better. You're looking into a mirror. Since the word has come and the seals came off, it has turned into a mirror for us. And not in a mirror vaguely, as in Paul's day, but in our day, he says, someday, Paul says, it's coming. We will look in the mirror of God's word and see face to face. Hallelujah. We will see Christ. We will see Christ in us and us in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. It's an individual revelation. Yes. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. Yes, the Lord. You weren't born again and became the word. Only the word can be born again. You were already the Word. Amen. You were already a thought of God. Amen. You became expressed when the Holy Spirit came. Amen. And you couldn't do it until this day. Hallelujah. This is your day and your message, and you recognize it. Amen. 1963, after the seals, a paradox. He says, when the dead in Christ shall rise, we which are alive and remain, it's not in there, shall be changed. He just jumped from 1 Thessalonians 4 to 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, back to 4 again, to be caught up together to meet him in the air. What has he done? He has effectively taught us how the rapture will work. Before we can be a rapture, we think of as being caught up, which that is generally what rapture means. Caught up, snatched up. But he's saying there, what he's doing there is he's taking truth and he's putting it together in its proper order. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise. That's number one. Number two, we will be changed. Amen. Number three, then we're going to be caught up. Amen. You're getting a picture now. Amen. I can't put them all in here. It's just one after another. He does it the same way. 1964. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, a new body. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In a twinkle of an eye, he says. And shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. The secret has been made known. The seals are open. He said it, not me. He said it. A vindicated prophet said it. Can you understand that? The seals opened and reveals to us, look, God has sent a message, a word, the word, that which was hidden in the word, he has sent us, and by the Holy Spirit's action can reveal it to us personally, amen, that I am a recipient of rapturing faith, hallelujah, for a body change. Amen. I can't go meet him in this thing. There's more scripture. Philippians, you know, it says, the Bible says that we look to heaven, toward heaven, from whence comes our Savior, who shall change our bodies to be glorified like his body. Changed, glorified. Then we meet him. Amen. Jesus never comes from heaven to the earth. He comes from heaven to the air, and we meet him in the air. Can you say amen? But we don't meet him. We can't go up to meet him in this thing. Anybody have a problem with getting rid of your gray hairs, your wrinkles, your false teeth? Anybody have a problem with that? Anybody have a problem with dumping all your weight instantaneously? I don't have a problem with that. I'm overweight. I need to get rid of some. I just don't have the determination that I need. I have other things going on, but God can heal us. He can let us tap into that redeemed body early. But the redeemed body is what the seals was all about, really. Was really just about that. He's got to have a bride when he comes. She needs to be ready. Hallelujah. The secret has been made known. The seals are open. He quotes that scripture and says that. You want to go back? Go look up Feast of Trumpets. That's where it is. Now, the message is more than just correct doctrines, revealed truths, how to live correctly. It's your body change. I don't know how to emphasize this anymore. God has snuck in again. I'll just use a seventh grade educated man. He's going to be my prophet, and I'm going to just attract the attention of the people. I'm going to use three phases of his ministry, like I did with Moses, like I did with Abraham, like I did with Jesus, like I did with all my three phases. Third phase, he'll be rejected, crucify the word again, but it'll be the word, that word, yes, that's rejected, that actually will redeem the people. I mean, redeem your body. Can you say amen, Brother Mark? Redeem your body. The word you now hold. You say, wait, isn't the Lord going to come? And then, you know, like there's going to be something, and this is what we always believe, right? The Lord comes, there's a shout, there's a voice, all kinds of things happening, and we all get our body changed. Amen. No, the body change is already underway. Amen. You're just like Superman inside the phone booth. Amen. All everyone sees is a phone booth. Amen. I just look like a phone booth. But inside of me, inside, Brother Garth, inside is Superman. And he's changing. Come on, brother. Come on. You got to show that. Come on up here. He's wearing Superman shirt. Now, see, tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor and knows everything, and you can't even predict none of this. I can't either. That's not in my notes. But he's got a shirt under his shirt that says Superman. That's a heavy guess. Because we're a super race, a super people, who are being changed. It's not just a soul change. We have that. They've had it down through the ages. It's not just a spirit change. They've had it down through the ages. This is body changing time. Before we meet him. He has to slip this in now, because he's not going to come and then change your body. He's already come in that form, in the form of his word, in the form of the entire Holy Spirit. All sevenfold of the Holy Spirit has arrived in this age to send his word and to soak it down into us to start a changing of the body now. You say, what about the brother that died? That doesn't matter. If whether you die, sleep, or alive, we're all going to be changed. The changing happens, but their process didn't get completed. Ours is not completed either. If it was, brother, you wouldn't be sitting there like that anymore, Brother Loic. You would be changed. But we're not changed yet, because it's going to happen all at one time. Oh, God. It's your body change. That should make people in this message that I know who have no longer listened to the prophet, they no longer read the books, they don't listen to the voice, they forgot about the scripture that says, but in the days of the voice. Didn't say in the days of the seventh messenger. It said in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. As Brother Branham says, each messenger of each age is the one who had a voice that influenced the entire age. That qualifies him as the messenger. And I wanted you to know, Brother Branham is the seventh messenger of this last age because his voice is still going on. I don't hear Brother William Branham. I don't hear Brother Branham. I'm hearing Jesus. When I listen, I'm listening for the Lord to speak to me. Not he wasn't the Lord. He was a man just like I am. I hope you're listening for the Lord to speak to you tonight. And not me. Now here's another one, 1964, questions and answers. That new body, how many wants a new body? Amen. Now, I don't have time to get into it right now, but I just want you to make sure you get this very clearly. The new body is not necessarily the glorified body. It is that's a two-stage thing. You get a new body and then a glorified body. It's not all the same because your theophany cannot come to this. Very clearly told the Brother Branham, we went past the current of time, we go down, theophanies, we go down to pick up redeemed bodies. So this thing has to get redeemed first. Amen. You get it? Amen. Oh my. Oh, the devil is so messed up. But you see why he's made the message all cloudy, even among message believers? That's okay, because God was going to allow another 50 years to get you in. That's the only reason why Jesus said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so he would allow 2,000 years of misinformation. Now, Jesus didn't give misinformation. He gave the truth. But he knew he would give them rope to hang themselves. So they have misinformation because the false church is coming no matter what you do. Not all Israel is Israel. Doesn't matter what God did to redeem Israel, there's going to be a bunch of fakers in there. Believers, unbelievers, make believers. You can't get around it. So it's going to happen to the church. So he allows that to happen. But the true believer doesn't put the pieces together, but by God's grace, something connects the pieces together. That's just God's grace. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now I know the name of the whole family in heaven and in earth, and I'm so happy I'm part of it. That's how you got baptized. You got to be part of the family. Can you say amen? Now, he says that new body that comes, where does it come from? It comes from this born again inside something that lives. Where's your new body coming from, Brother Mark? Brother Mark, would you hold him down? He's getting ready to just go. He's starting to go. He's taking off. He says it's the person that cannot die. That's the person that the new life starts from. From this new birth. And it builds another person in the image of this person you are. Around that life. Listen, you may have a whole history in the back of your mind. You may know things about yourself nobody else knows. And you may even have regrets right now in your life about things you've done in the past, thought in the past, whatever, behavior. But that's not even you. That's not the real you. The person I'm speaking about here came out of a new birth, and it is building another person in the image of this person. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. How are you guys still sitting here? We should be gone now. Amen. So he says, so potentially it's in here. What is it? The word promise before the foundation of the world, he said, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. The word that's in you, the body will materialize around that word. Hallelujah. And I get the feeling that it's already starting and already happening and something's already materializing. Amen. But there's going to be a snap time when it all happens instantaneously. Do you believe that? See, saints, instead of thinking something out here is going to do it, it's something in here. There's something in you right now that was with God before the world ever began. When he spoke things into existence, it was there. It saw God go from thought to word to materialization. And that's ever been the process of God. God used prophets who had contained by revelation his thoughts, and then they spoke it into word, and then that word materialized. And it's always been a process of God. How many believes it? Amen. Do it now, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will materialize your word right now in this place. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. By my stripes you are healed, thus saith the Lord. He will materialize your healing right on your body. This same God came in our generation. His name is Almighty God, Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? I believe he's here now. Satan's angry, he's upset, but God's here. Who cares? Down through the ages, you don't hear anything in the Bible specifically saying that the saints have theophanies, but a prophet came and revealed that. Then when you look back in the Bible, you can see, oh, I see where it's at. We are surrounded by a cloud of many witnesses. And we can say, amen, that's theophanies. The saints could not connect with their theophanies until the seals were revealed and the Bible became an open book. You say, why is that important? Here's why. He says, we see the attributes, sons and daughters of the Spirit of God. How many is that right now? We have not yet entered into our word form body, but a theophany, this body. He says, this body, listen carefully, this body is subject to the word and the earnest. That is the earnest of the Holy Spirit that's in you and the word that's in you and is merged together, which is the token. The token is not simply the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit 100 times a day and still go to hell. But the Holy Spirit, when it merges with the word of the hour, becomes the token. I hope that's understood. You'll see that the prophet clears that up. What does he say here? He says, the body, this body, is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. Oh my. This body can no longer just do whatever it wants to do. Does Satan influence it? Yes. Does the devil still have an ownership right on this body? I can give you the quote. Yes. He can still, you're going to die someday if the Lord tarries. And the devil still gets to be part of that process of death. But death doesn't fear us anymore. We don't fear it anymore. It doesn't cause us to fear because it's just a doorway. It's a graduation. Can you say amen? And Satan can just do his little part, but it's just an act. Because it's going to end soon, and it's going to end very soon. Hallelujah. Now, the saints could not connect over there until a prophet came in our day. Because Paul says, I know a man, couldn't talk about it, went to the third heavens, said things that are unutterable, can't express it. Paul kept it to himself. John saw and heard things, he couldn't write it, kept it to himself. But then God sends us a prophet.
Hallelujah.
Because full redemption can happen when it's all done. When seven ages are completed and we can get into the Holy of Holies. Time to cross over, saints.
Hallelujah.
And you'll notice you can't get in there without facing the golden altar of prayer and incense. What's the number one thing the devil wants to get out of us? Prayer. He could take away the Bible. He can take away the message. He could stop you from hearing it. Can stop you from reading it. He can do that. Potentially it can happen. You can get locked in a cell with nothing. But the Word of God is still in you.
Amen.
And the one thing he can never take from you is prayer. They might be able to seal up your mouth so you can't worship out loud, but you can never stop a person from praying. Praying, praying, praying. Brother Ram says there's one thing we can never do enough. He says we can do too much praising, he even said. You can be in church all day long, worship. But he says you can never pray enough. And don't forget the third pole. Why the little room? He asked in the vision. And the angel said, did not our Lord say when you pray, go into a closet by yourself, and I who see in secret will reward you in open.
Amen.
Prayer, third pole. When God did the second pole in front of Abraham, right? Son of man revealed. Do you believe that Son of Man's revealed in our day? Amen. He discerned Sarah's heart behind him. He did all that. But it was a little bit later as he's moving out of there, he says, shall I keep this a secret? There's a secret God has. And he doesn't. He gives it to Abraham. Because he says, Abraham will be faithful with his children, his generations. Praise the Lord. And God opens up the seals for us. Third pole. Hallelujah. And what does Abraham do? When Abraham hears the secret of God, he responds by standing in the gap. He stands between God, life, and Sodom, death. And he says, if there be 10, if there be 5, or whatever the numbers were, you know, if there be, please save. Think of what he did there. Think of Abraham's attitude. I think that this is something maybe in this message we totally bypassed. We got busy with doctrines, understandings, you know, clothesline, hairline, all that stuff. Doctrinal lines, drawing smaller circles, drawing people out, instead of drawing everybody in. And we didn't do the most important thing, which was get in the little room, yourself, where only one can get in. It's not a group prayer, it's your own private, personal communion. And like David said, Lord, may I enter to so that you enter, he meant the Holy of Holies, so that you can commune with me off the cherubim, off the wings of the cherubim. Amen. David came that far, he had that much understanding to know that's the ultimate goal. We've missed it, in a sense, but it's not going to be missed because the true bride of Christ gets it. She wants it. And I'll read this last quote. Who is this Melchizedek? He says, now we see the attribute sons of his spirit have not yet entered into the word form body, but a theophany. This body is subject to the word in earnest, waiting for the earnest change of the body. And then he goes on. Then after you recognize the very word of God is eagle food. Hallelujah. Chicken might look at it and say, I wouldn't touch that. That's scary. I'm going to run away from that stuff. It's all bloody. But the eagle goes, oh, that's what I've been looking for. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Eagle food. Then you left the other thing. See? If you're an eagle, you're going to recognize eagle food. And you're also going to leave the other thing. You don't eat eagle food and then go over here and eat chicken. Dumplings. You stay with eagle food from then on. You got a taste of it. You can't go back. How are these people going back? Because they never really left the chicken food. They were just pretending. They were just sticking their beak in and not eating it. They're still eating corn on the side. Lots of corn. And other kernels that I don't want to talk about. But then he says, you leave that other thing. How many's left that other thing?
Amen.
I hope you have. He says, you have been formed into the living image of the living God. You heard from your theophany. If this earthly body be dissolved, we have one waiting.
Amen.
Every time you read your Bible, you're no longer hearing Matthew, Peter, James. You're hearing from your theophany.
Yes, sir.
Every time you put on a message or read a book, a pamphlet, you're no longer hearing. You're not hearing Brother Branham. You're hearing from your theophany.
Amen.
You're hearing from another realm. Every time you come to church, and a faithful man of God can just preach the truth, the message of this hour. You're not hearing from that man. You're hearing from your theophany.
Yeah.
It ought to inspire faith in us so much that, brother and sister, the only thing holding us back is the barricade of God's timing. He has this thing timed. And that's all you know. All you know, if God decided tonight at 9 p.m., the rapture is going to happen, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have anything else to do. You're ready. Isn't that pretty exciting? You are ready to go. Now, some people may not be ready, and you know who they are. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got discernment. So let's help them get ready. Because we want everyone in that can be in to be in. Can you say amen? And let's get them ready. And we have to stop right there. Maybe one more. You okay with that? Out of the same message, who's this Melchizedek? He progresses and he says, so how perfect the word is. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The word came to the prophet. See? That's God's principle. Word comes to the prophet. Could be by revelation or whatever. That's fine. We know it, that it happens that way. We see it in John the Baptist a little slightly different way. We're going to see that in a minute. He says, see, there was God in a theophany. And the Bible said the word comes to the prophet. And here was the word in the theophany, speaking of who came to Abraham. The word in theophany form. How many believes the word comes to the prophet? And do you believe it happened in our day? But how many also understands that you, by the word of this prophet, you are a prophetic class of people? So your theophany is coming to you. Praise the Lord. Why is he doing that? Because there's prophecy in the Word of God that says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And your theophany is pulsating that. I'm going to change you. 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 That's what you're hearing. Something is changing you. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. Amen. I am changed. I am reborn. My life has been rearranged. Oh, the difference it makes when the Lord has his way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Why are you sitting here in church, not at a bar somewhere? Your physical body has been captivated and is subject to your theophany body. I mean, that's pretty bad. I wonder if there's some theophany sitting here and their human correspondents aren't here. It's very possible. Paul said to the believers in one of the churches, when you all gather together, I'm going to gather with you with my spirit. That's weird language. But what did he mean? My theophany is going to go there. You don't believe it? I'm going to quote it to you one more time, and then we're going to sing. We are surrounded by a cloud of many theophanies. They're here. And don't think that for one minute, how can Paul be here? How can Irenaeus be here? How can Brother Branham be here? How can all the my mom and dad be here? How can they be here? How can anybody be here? They could be somewhere else. There's other family members, other churches. Because they're in a dimension that works with a different speed. Praise the Lord. They can be here and they can be there. And they could do it very fast. Hallelujah. And I believe with all my heart, as Brother Branham once said, when you speak about them, they draw near. I don't believe in any of this fake stuff about it where you have these people who do seances and these, you know, basically witches come around and says, oh, I'm going to speak to your dead saints, your dead family members, loved ones. They're speaking to someone. I believe they're actually connecting with another realm, but be careful. That's that stuff the Bible says stay away from only because God has a right way to do it and there's a wrong way. The devil can't come up with a new way. He has to mimic the right way. And it will be the wrong way, but it will seem right. So be aware of that. If God has your family members in his hands, believe me, they are aware of our existence and they are aware of what's going on. Believe me. They can't pray for you. Don't think about that. You just pray for yourself. Amen? We pray for one another. God bless you. Have the musicians come at this time. Oh my. Brother Bram says the book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. It can only be understood by a prophetic class. There's nobody can understand it hardly. This book is made for a certain class of people. And I think I'm speaking to her right now. Amen? Amen. Now, how many supermen are in this room tonight? Okay, superwomen too, superwomen. All that you love, all that ever loved you will be changed. They will be there. They're going to be there. How's God going to do that? I don't know. But I'm pretty excited. They will be there. So that's all I care about. Let's just pray and go to the Lord right now. Father, as we close, there's some reason, Lord, why the devil so fights this thought tonight, Lord, and the vein of gold that we're on, the trail within the message that we're seeking, and that we're on this narrow path. And we know that Satan will fight every one of us. But that's okay. If he didn't fight us, if the world didn't hate us, then we would have to start questioning where we stand. Because it hated you first, Lord. But oh, great healer, I pray that right now you'll rise with healing in your wings. Let the word become healing in the people now. I pray that you will set everyone free from different attacks of the enemy, because we're going to overcome these things right now. Lord, I just ask you to just set free every person here in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Every demon power right now, we bind in the name of the glorious God and Savior. And we cast out and cast away into chains that reserved unto the day of judgment. And for that true child of God to rise up in liberty and redemption. For our redemption is drawing nigh closer now than ever before, and we receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. For the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark, claim that healing and keep walking in it. Watch what happens. God is healing my neck by the grace of God. I love it. Doctors can't do anything. That's better for me. It's better for you when the doctors can't do anything. Because they can do something and it might take your life too. They could do something and it might be what God wants. So just make sure it's what God wants. God is doing something right now. Well, I am changed. I am reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a gift it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life praise God has been changed. Oh, I've been changed. When you go into a phone booth, what do you do normally? I know they don't exist anymore, but don't worry about it. When you go into it, what's the purpose of going into a phone booth? You get a phone call. This is a case where you're not making a call, but you're getting a call. You're hearing from your theophany. Can you say amen? And that's changing you, changing you. Well, I am changed. I am reborn. Changing me from revelation to revelation. He's changing me. Notice how Paul writes it, from righteousness to righteousness. Amen. Every revelation produces a new cleanness in your life. It purges out information that's disinformation and misinformation and gives you truth. And truth makes you free and sets you free and cleans you. Amen. So, from glory, another key, too low. From glory to glory, He's changing me, changing me. He's changing me, His likeness and image to perfect in me. The love of God to change me. Oh, He's changing, changing me. From earth, to the have you close with a word of prayer. Sure, appreciate that, brother. Hey, brother. Amen. So glad you could be here. I knew you were here. I'd have
that was a good word. You know, I'm a hunter, and I do hunt with Mark, and we enjoy to be. One of the things I enjoy when I hunt is to be in the woods alone. And, you know, I was talking with the Lord, and I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, the first commandment was to love you with all of my heart, all of my strength, all of my soul, and all of my mind. I said, how can I do that? And I've been asking, how can I do that, Lord? How can I love you with all? And he just showed me only by my Holy Spirit. And it's him coming and just that image reflecting. And we cannot love him. Nothing we'll be able to boast about. It is him doing the old thing. And I was just praising him. I just was enjoying his presence. And I